The following is a CSPN Media podcast presentation.
Don't treat me like a woman. Don't treat me like a man. Don't treat me like you know me. Treat me for just who I am.
Hello, and welcome to a special edition of the Forever Young cast. Yes, they are back. It is Miss V, who was asleep though on Twitter. How are you, Miss V?
I'm good. Quarantined in my house, but I'm good.
It is Madame Lizette. How are you?
I'm good. I just got back from eating shrimp and crab, so I'm in a great mood.
Oh, yes. Yes, that's always a good day. And Miss Jupiter Julep, how are you?
Well, and you?
I'm doing great. It is awesome to be able to reconnect with you ladies. We've been talking about doing this for some time now. And, you know, through circumstances and all things considered, we're able to do this and bring everyone this special episode. So it's going to be a lot of fun reconnecting with you all. If you want to hear more of their banter and witty remarks, please tune into the Dark Match on the Patreon page, because on the next episode, they definitely will be playing a big part. So I guess we'll talk about what's the biggest news involving the world and professional wrestling here really soon. It's the coronavirus and its effect that it's going to have on WrestleMania. Tampa, the government as of yet has not told Vince McMahon he cannot do the show, even though they have banned, you know, every other gathering of people that could, you know, possibly can be considered a concert or a sporting event or public outing. So I'll get everybody's temperature first and foremost. I'll start with Miss V. Give me a percentage of left to his own devices. Vince McMahon doing the reasonable thing and canceling WrestleMania or moving it to later in the year.
He's not going to cancel it unless somebody tells him he has to, because Vince does not like to accept defeat. I think the only way it gets canceled is if Tampa says that they cannot have the gathering, because he does not want to be the bad guy. I think he would like to be able to have this event and then go out into the middle of the ring, cut a promo on coronavirus and how everybody else was weak and did not have their event, but WrestleMania is still happening and people from all over the world are here. I just think he wants to be able to say he did that, but it'd be the dumbest thing ever for him to do it, I think personally, but I think there's, unless Tampa says no, I think he's going to try and make it happen, even though, like, I don't think people are thinking about things like the airport down there is going to be a complete mess if people are coming from all over the place and having to be screened as they come in. It's just going to be a mess. I don't see how they could do it, but I think Vince is going to try and do it at all costs unless he's told otherwise by someone else. I don't think he'll make that decision on his own.
All right. Miss Madame Lizette, your thoughts on it? Do you feel the same way that Miss V does?
So I've been like kind of thinking about this and listening to like a couple different podcasts or whatever on it. And part of the reason why Vince hasn't canceled it is he wants his insurance money. If he cancels it, Tampa Bay doesn't have to give him insurance money. If Tampa Bay cancels it, he gets his insurance money back. So, and there's a lot of like indie wrestling promotions that are doing the exact same thing. They're fine if Tampa cancels it, but if Vince cancels it, they don't get paid. So yeah. I think that like they're going to hold out until Thursday, because that's the duration that they gave them. They're going to hold out until Thursday and then make Tampa Bay cancel it and make Tampa Bay give them like the $20 million or whatever.
That's a very interesting take. I haven't heard. You know, interesting that you went the financial route.
Yeah. I mean, at the end of the day, Vince is a businessman and the health of wrestling matters to him. He needs competition. He can't build stars of his own. And if all these wrestling promotions go out of business because WrestleMania doesn't happen, then that's on him.
Right.
And they're in a much better situation if they can at least get insurance for like the tickets and stuff. If they can't get insurance for anything else, they can at least get tickets for some of the stuff, no matter how like small that is. Mm-hmm. Like, I think one wrestling promoter was talking about, like, if they don't do the show, he's going to have to basically sell his house to, like, pay for the wrestlers. And I feel like that is crazy, but that's also realistic for some of these promotions. Like, WrestleMania mm-hmm. is their big payday. It's their big payoff.
Right. And Ms. Jupiter Julep, I'll get your thoughts on Vince's percentage, or do you think, you know, he's going to let the show go on? Because in wrestling, the show must go on.
Listen, I was watching that pay-per-view, that fateful pay-per-view when Owen Hart passed. It's one of the reasons why, to this day, I say a prayer before every pay-per-view, and the show had to go on, in their estimation. Having said that, WWE did release a statement which says in part that we remain committed to hosting WrestleMania at Raymond James Stadium. We are putting together contingency plans in place in the event that it is canceled by government officials, civil authorities, and/or local venues. So, I mean, that statement right there is saying that they won't be the ones who are calling it.
Yeah, they're not canceling.
Kind of goes back into what Madam Lizette was saying, is that now we see a possible reason for why they wouldn't cancel it. But I think I'd like to talk about what those contingency plans might look like after seeing, well, what SmackDown did, what they did for NXT, and what they will do for next week's Raw, NXT, and SmackDown in terms of having it somewhere without a crowd, or what type of event they will try to do. I am interested in the contingency plans. There's no way in the world that they're going to be able to test people. I mean, the best thing that they could possibly do is perhaps swipe something over to see over people's foreheads to see if they have a temperature. But I'm thinking that what they might do, I don't think it'll be an empty venue, but it'll be maybe at the performance centers, and the crowd will be the family and friends of the people that are of the wrestlers. So, I mean, people that could be easily contained, you know, tested and contained. I think that they'll do something like that instead of having it at a full venue. But I do like the thinking that possibly they're going to wait for the insurance money, say, we didn't cancel it, you're on your own. I think that most other people know that this probably won't go on. And if so, what kind of shenanigans would you get into in trying to travel down there, and what would be open, what the hotels might look like? All of those things you have to consider. Is that going to be the best thing for your health? Probably not. So you're going to sit at home anyway. And like you, H, I've been listening to some of the podcasts, and Tyson Fight said that, or Lindsay Kelk from Tyson Fight said that, if nothing else, we're going to get an all grandkids battle royal. And I'm for that, because he's got six of them, right?
Right.
Yeah.
It's just happenstance that NXT was going to be from the Performance Center this week. Like,
yeah,
they had always had that scheduled just because Full Sail had an event going at the place where they shoot it. So that was just dumb luck that they happened to get in that spot for Wednesday night when everything just totally went down as far as how serious the country began to take the virus and everything. Once the NBA, you know, player contracted it and everything started just shutting down left and right. Now the SmackDown, I did not record it, but I saw some YouTube clips. Wow, that looked like something out of Bizarro World.
I saw it, you know, in preparation for today. I do have it on auto record on my DVR, and they were really smart to start it off with Sasha Banks, Bayley, Alexa Bliss, and Nikki Cross. I'm not sure if Nikki Cross spent any time in the development center, but Alexa Bliss, Sasha Banks, and Bayley did, and it showed that they were used to being there and performing and just learning how, or to imagine if they were in front of the big crowds, which they were in front of. And they put on a show like it was a full house.
Yeah.
So, you know, and it was a smart thing to do to have them in there. And it also speaks to the division of Triple H about what he wanted to do with the Performance Center and how well the entertainers are instructed. And they had a good time. They could hardly keep a straight face. And quite frankly, that was the best I've ever seen Bayley perform.
Yeah. Although I think it was funny. Yeah, it was funny watching her talk to the crowd. I was like, who are you talking to, girl?
She was talking to me.
I was like, there's nobody in the audience. Why don't you look towards the camera when you're talking? But no, I thought it actually enjoyed that SmackDown. You could tell, like, everybody, like you said, was having a good time. Mm-hmm. They were playing to a crowd, but it was, you know, a crowd in their head and a crowd at home. But I think Roman cut one of his best promos ever because it was just him going out there and being able to talk and be himself. I don't think a lot of people ever really got a chance to actually see Roman in the Performance Center when he was coming up as what was his name back then? What'd you say?
Don't listen to her.
Yeah, he had a different name, and I cannot remember what it was.
Deacon or something. Something with a D.
It was.
Well, that's a pun in itself.
Yeah. But it was, it was one of his best promos. You know, so I thought it was good. I also thought it was really smart to play one of the, Liaki was his name. But it was also really smart to play one of the, the tag team chamber match, which was actually a really, really good match to actually give the semblance of an audience there on the show. But I think he did a really good job having to work with not having a crowd. I don't know if a lot of promotions could do that and be as entertaining as what we got. I know a lot of people complained about the fact that they actually did replay a match from a pre-taped match, but it's like, they were like, they had an opportunity to do something different. Why are they showing us something we've already seen before? And I'm like, guys, I don't think people also thought about the fact they probably didn't have their full roster. I don't think everybody, because clearly, you know, Michael Cole was working by himself and Triple H had to come out there and do commentary, which was actually really brilliant. He should be on commentary more often. And
Triple H stole the show.
He was, he was really, really good. And maybe he was just more in his bag because he was in his Performance Center where he, like, made all these stars and stuff. But I thought he was really good. But I think people just didn't think about the fact that everybody wasn't there. They were probably working with a smaller staff, camera guys and all that, and they were working with a smaller amount of staff of a roster of superstars. One thing that did drive me crazy about the show, though, is that they had the music so loud, and I'm like, why is the music so loud? And Michael Cole is, like, screaming over the music, and there's nobody in the room. Like, I don't understand why they just turned the music down and talk normal. So that was one of the things crazy, but otherwise it was good.
You know what? I think that they probably have set levels and they knew they ought not touch it. I mean, they didn't have the bodies to absorb the sound, but that was also something that I noticed. The other thing that I noticed was, I know you guys say that John Cena looks like JBL, but when he was talking about Bray Wyatt and how Bray Wyatt has accused John Cena of sending him down the fiend path, all I could see was Ernest Scared Stupid. He looks like Ernest with that baseball hat. I was like, oh my God, that's Ernest. I don't see JBL. Maybe if he put on another hat, I've never really seen a good side-by-side, but he looks like Ernest.
He looks like
young JBL. JBC.
He looks like JBL without when he's not wearing a hat. When he wears a hat, he looks totally different. But I wish that they would let him get rid of the neon colors because he's too old for it. At this point, it's like you can still do your hustle, loyalty, respect thing, but I don't need to see this 40-some-odd-year-old man walking out there in bright neon colors. Like he's like, especially he's not even wrestling full time anymore. So it's like it's okay, and he doesn't have to wear jorts. And like this should have been the opportunity for John Cena to come back, and not be John Cena from 5 years ago. He could be a new like older. I've been in Hollywood for a little bit. Like now, let me come back and still be John Cena, but have a different have a swagger and not have to be a bad guy. But because they will never let that happen. But I just like, I don't need to see him wearing the same stuff that he was wearing 5 years ago. Like, switch that up.
I have two things about that. The first thing I thought of when I started looking at him hard and noticing the Jim Varney thing was I was taken aback by the neon green because I thought, well, wait a minute. Shouldn't he have a new color t-shirt by now to, yeah. you know, to sell for WrestleMania? The second thing what if he went full circle and went back to the prototype as yeah, if to say, I'm the best. And I've done all these things and everybody is, I'm the blueprint, I'm the prototype. Everybody needs to be me.
Yeah. Anything would be better than him walking out there in neon colors at this point because it's just really played out.
He should have a white shirt or something. Has he had that color? Just like a white t-shirt?
I think he did.
Yeah.
I think he did. White and blue for a minute.
Yeah, oh, girl, he's shirt, from yeah. that.
Yeah. So you know, I just think it's weird seeing someone like, I don't know, I guess because his gimmick for me is very young. And so mm-hmm. when you see somebody like his age walking out there in bright ass neon colors, 15 armbands on, like the hat and the jorts, it's like, okay, you're not this late 20s, early 30 year old man anymore. Like you're super established and you don't like, it just feels it feels weird and not in a good nostalgic way because it just looks out of place, especially when we're seeing him on, you know, the new Fast and Furious pictures and stuff.
And they're finally letting him be a heel.
And you're like, you think he's in a black t-shirt and he's like looking hardcore. Like he looks dope. And I'm like, that's what we should be seeing coming back to wrestling, not you reverting back to 5 years ago. Come with something a little bit new. Go back to the beginning.
Speaking of coming with something a little bit new, it's been about 6 months since the debut of AEW Dynamite and AEW as a company. They promised a lot as far as women's wrestling and what they were going to look for to try to provide as far as a division and competitors and the focus. So I will start with Miss Jupiter Julep to first see how much of the promotion you have taken in, your initial thoughts about the women's division, and what you feel could be done to improve it.
Okay, so I have watched every television show that's come on TNT on Wednesday nights. I have not seen the pay-per-views. I do not watch the Being Elite YouTube show. Or anything prior to TNT. So I do the Wednesday Night Wars, and that's about it in terms of what I've watched. I want to say, trying to say something nice and say something. I can't sandwich it, but you know, if you ladies will indulge me, I'm going to talk a little bit about what we say in my group chat. I think when I'm looking at the women's division and just AEW as a whole, I'm looking at Brandi. Brandi is my entry point. Cody Rhodes too, but I know what I'm getting with Cody Rhodes. Brandi is the one who said, I'm the chief diversity officer and we're going to have great women's wrestling. We're going to develop talent. We're going to have exoticos. We're going to have people of color. And we're going to do these. We're really going to do the things that we know you want. It's going to be Cuffle Mania all day, every day, y'all. You know, something along those lines. And then, you know, I was waiting and I'm looking for the fruition of that. And then I thought, well, maybe she doesn't understand diversity. Maybe she is an Ember Moon Black.
Uh-oh, here we go.
All right, fine. You know what? I'm just going to leave the dot, 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 and you guys figure that out for yourselves. I won't go there then. But you know what I'm saying. So having said that, I mean, I think that that's what's showing in the product. Because when I look at the women's division, we're just going to take the women's division. Brandi tried to do a Nightmare Collective. And she had, well, you know what? Is she Awesome Kong? Is she Karma? What was she?
She's Awesome Kong. She's in awesome. This show, she's Awesome Kong. Yeah.
So here she's Awesome Kong, and it's just like the women of color. You know, they're beasts. Are we beasts? or, you know, or I don't really know where they were going with that. That also went away pretty quickly. I mean, the one good thing that I will say is that, well, I'll say two good things. They finally put the title on Nyla Rose, which they should have done from the beginning. And secondly, I do think that Brandi realized that nobody was feeling that Nightmare Collective, and she is back to being cheerleader number one to husband, like going back to the gimmick that worked for her. And getting involved in the matches a little bit. So I appreciate that, but I do need her to make good of what she promised in terms of having story for the women's division. And I look at, here's going to be like my one comparison to WWE. I look at all the women who participated in the Mae Young Classic, and whether they are still at WWE, Big Swole is at AEW, whether they're at Stardom or they're other places, just looking at what that tournament did in terms of building names, recognition, and introducing us to great talent. And I am thinking that they should probably take that model and do something so that we understand. If they don't have storyline, that's fine. Just have them wrestle. Have them wrestle towards something, and, you know, to introduce people, especially because they're having issues with visas and now with the coronavirus and everything else. I mean, yeah, just doing something with who they have. And I think they should also do something with the Exoticos, because I think I've seen Sunny Kiss all at once.
Yeah, he usually does the dark matches, which are our AEW Dark, which is on the YouTube page. And like, my biggest issue with AEW is it's way too much content too fast. Like, you are basically telling your customer base that, okay, so yes, you need to watch every Wednesday, but you also need to watch AEW Dark on Tuesday nights, which is on YouTube, and you also probably need to watch the B&B Elite YouTube channel, and you also should probably watch Cody's Road Twos and like the Nightmare stuff that he does on YouTube. Oh, and we just came out with a new podcast, which is beautiful for you to listen to too. It's way too much content for a show that like the average fan only really has those 2 hours on Wednesday. Yeah. And it's just like, is there making me having to watch a whole bunch of stuff that I don't feel like I need to watch?
Is their second night of TV going to replace any of that other stuff? Because I think it's crazy that they're already going to two nights of TV.
I think what I have read is that AEW Dark is just going to be moved off of YouTube and put on television.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And the thing about AEW Dark that I really appreciate, like Cody has done a very good job with it, is they do background stories. So like they go into people's backgrounds, they give you their history. They did a whole big like mock-up of Big Swole. Like it's really good of explaining like who these wrestlers are. It's just, it's on YouTube and it's something that I kind of forget to watch. And then because I'm just like, well, why can't we do that on Wednesdays?
Yeah, and people shouldn't have to seek out the stories of these people you're trying to sell. Like, you should be selling that on your main program so that we can get to know who these people are that you want us to continue to tune into each week. We shouldn't have to go another direction to get that information.
Right.
Well, see, and now that makes sense to me, is because I didn't know that they went in background, because this last segment on Wednesday with Britt Baker coming out as she has been doing for the last few weeks and talking trash, and then Big Swole came out to confront them, and their confrontation was very, very much, you know who our significant others are, don't you? You know, wink, wink, or, you know, and my mother, who just so happened to be in the room with me, was like, what's going on? Why is this happening? Like, she didn't get it at all. And unfortunately, it wasn't about their talent. It was about their connection.
Yeah, you only know us because of who our husbands are.
And who don't even go here.
Yeah. And if we're being honest, like, Adam Cole is way more known than, Cedric Alexander is. And that's not even trying to be offensive to Cedric Alexander.
No,
that's just because WWE has like done a terrible job of like putting him over and getting him on television.
So
I am like on the complete opposite end of the spectrum of you guys when it comes to watching AEW. I tried when it first came out. I'll tune into it every once in a while and try a couple of matches. Personally, I just feel like there's nothing about AEW that is being marketed towards people like me. Like, I think it's made for dude bros, and I don't like everything about it. Just makes me think college frat boy. There's nothing about it that makes me think that I should be tuning into it every week. The music for all the entrance music is garbage. So I'm like, I can't even get excited about seeing somebody come out. I have to tune into a different program to find out who the hell some of these people are. So then I'm like, that's extra work for me to care about some of these people. They talked about so much about how they were going to be different from WWE. They weren't going to lean on legends when everything they have done has leaned on some legend from the WWE. Like, everything about this, like, that's Cody is consistently bringing in somebody that was friends with his dad that he grew up loving. They're constantly on the show. So I'm like, everything they said they were going to do, they haven't really done. They've pretty much gone against everything and actually done a lot of what WWE, they said they didn't like about the WWE. So I haven't been able to get on board with it. Like, I tried. Like, there's people on there that I want to support, but I'm like, it's a lot of work and I don't have the effort or the time or the care. So I just haven't. So, yeah.
So I, up until I went to a live AEW show, I was watching it over watching NXT. And that's because, like, I had always watched NXT on the network anyway. I never watched it live. So it was okay for me to be like, oh, I'll just watch the television show. And then I went to a live show and I realized this is not as good as we think it is. Like, or as what fans think it is. It is a predominantly white male crowd, which is interesting in itself. Because
are you talking NXT or AEW?
AEW.
Okay, yeah. Yeah.
It's a predominantly white crowd. And, you know, I've been to NXT shows and those are so live. Like, they're just as good in person as they are on television. But no, okay. The AEW crowd is predominantly white, predominantly male. If they are not white, then they are male. There's not a lot of women who come. And if they are coming, they're coming with their significant other or they're bringing their kids or whatever. And it really is one of those, I'm cheering for this and doing this and going for this because it's not WWE. There are a handful of really good wrestlers on the roster, which are excellent and that are really, really enjoyable. And there are some on the roster that you're just like, okay, this is a little sloppy. The one thing that I realized in watching AEW is Cody is the most over babyface, and you can tell he doesn't want to be. Like, you can tell he's just like, well, y'all get over so I can go in the back, and no one can get over in a way that works so that Cody can just go sit down somewhere. Yeah. Like, he's in storylines just because he's trying to get someone else over.
And cares about just him. Well,
and like, I'm not gonna say that because Darby Allin is really, really over, and part of that has to do with the fact that he had that really great match with Cody.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And
go ahead.
Luchasaurus, Jungle Boy, and Marty?
Marco Stunt.
They're all three of them, like the Jurassic Association, they're all really over. Pac or Neville, he's really over. The Lucha Brothers, they're really over. Like, the people that you know of, they're over. But that has a lot to do with the fact that, like, we know who they are. And some of them may have been in WWE at one point in time. So, of course. But, like, a lot of the people who were, like, were supposed to absolutely love because they're baby faces, the crowd just doesn't care about them. And it's sad because you can tell that Cody really wants them to get over so that he does not have to be the head babyface. Like, he put in the stipulation that he'll never challenge for the AEW heavyweight title. And it's like, well, or heavyweight title. And there's a reason for that. He doesn't want to be the babyface that goes against Jericho. And Jon Moxley is excellent. I think I enjoy him more in Japan than I do in AEW. But either way, he's he's so much happier being there than he was in the WWE, and he's enjoying himself so much more. And Jericho is kind of the same way. He's doing such a great job with his staple and trying to put them over and get them into matches with them. But it's just like, I think the crowd is so hell bent on just being like, it's not WWE, it's not WWE. Yeah. Yeah. That they're not really investing in the wrestlers. They're investing in the fact that AEW is different.
And the thing that I've noticed, like the few times that I've watched, the thing that I've noticed is like the only people that carry themselves and that seem like superstars are the ones who have WWE experience. And they're the ones that everybody, and it's because people know them, but they just carry themselves differently. Like Cody has an air about him. Jericho, John Moxley, Neville, like they all have a different air about them. They might not have been getting the storylines and the stuff that they wanted from WWE, but they carry themselves like stars who were on WWE. So now they're stars in AEW.
Well,
and it makes a difference compared to people that are coming from the indies. You can totally tell, and those are people that I want to watch, are the ones that, like, even from their gear, like sometimes watching it, I'm just like, some of these people look dusty as hell. Like, why do they not look like they're on television right now? They're not wrestling in a bingo hall. Why do they look like they are?
I think that we'll get to that point where they are better about that, because now they have the Black lady who was doing WWE ring gear. She's fully 100% signed to AEW. She still does WWE ring gear, though, because she still does, like, Lacey Evans ring gear. She still does Naomi ring gear.
Yeah,
so, like, she's still doing, or Sandra, she's still doing their gear. But, I mean, she makes sure that Brandi and Cody look amazing.
They look
every
like
time
stars.
They step out.
Yeah. Oh, so well, Brandi, I just, real quick, I think going back to them wanting to be the antithesis of WWE, everything about what it seems like she's trying to do is like she's trying to be Stephanie, but she said she doesn't want to be Stephanie, but she's trying to be Stephanie, and it comes across terribly. Like, she can't pull it off yet.
Her and Cody are totally Triple H and Stephanie. Like, and everything Cody does is Triple H. Like, everything. But he is young Triple H.
He's the only one that's pulling it off. She can't pull it off. She's not a good enough actress which is crazy, because I think she has the more acting experience than Cody does. But everything that she does on camera, just unless she's being Cody's like number two, anything she does on her own trying to the Nightmare Collective and stuff, it just doesn't work, because I don't think she's believable in anything that she does. And I'm like, there's a reason why on WWE she got pushed to being an announcer. Now we see why.
Because she's awkward. She's so awkward.
She's extremely awkward. Like,
awkward.
Yeah, and I feel like she's trying so hard to prove WWE wrong, and it's like, no, you're just proving them right. And there's a reason why they made you an announcer, because you are awkward and you are terrible. And just go with it. Announce some matches or walk out there with Cody and be nice, look pretty, say a couple things, put him over or whatever, but we don't need anything extra until you figure it out. Like, I would love for her to figure it out and be able to come back and be a face on TV and stuff, but like, I don't really care about anything that she does, honestly, because she's so awkward.
We're gonna jump in, change the subject, because the last time that we were all together, everybody had feelings about Bayley and where her character was, and how maybe, you know, through the main roster, they had totally ruined Bayley because it was right there on the platform and they didn't know how to use it. Well, since that time, she's turned heel. She's had two reigns as SmackDown Women's Champion as a heel. And I just wanted to know, has this recent run as heel champion changed any of your opinions on Bayley? So, Ms. Jupiter Julep.
Yes.
I'm going to let you start with this one.
I'm going to tie this in a little bit to AEW and say, with her AEW branding on her clothes, I think that in order for her to have made the true transition to heel, she was going to have to be like MJF and be an asshole 24 hours a day in a convincing way.
And yeah, because he is perfect at that.
Yeah, and she's and if she wasn't going to do that, then she should have just been vibing like Orange Cassidy. I mean, but what she, but instead, I mean, I got this middling, fair to middling thing where I'm happy that she transitioned to do something different with her character. But I don't think that she can, that she has fully embraced heel life to make it better than what it was. I mean, it's better than what it was, but where it should or could be, because I mean, let's be real. I just said that performance in an empty arena was the best I have seen her ever. What does that say about her connection with the crowd, with her connection to me? I mean, you know, V said, who was she talking to? I was like, girl, she was talking to me. That was the best that I have seen her as far as connection and really trying, having fun and letting go and doing something different. And I don't know who her opponent's going to be for WrestleMania. I don't care. I fast forward her matches unless Sasha's there. And then I wait for the Snoop Dogg verse to come out. I'm like, all right, you know, sisters. But then I go through, there's 6 hours of wrestling I got to get through. I record them all. I don't bother with Raw. So my 6 hours are NXT, AEW, and SmackDown. And I can get through all of them in like 2 hours and 15 minutes because my fast forward game is strong. So I can't tell you what she's been doing. Like in her storyline, she's there with Sasha. She has the belt. She has no one to challenge her in a way that's going to elevate her character and her storytelling. So that's where I am with Bayley.
All right, Miss V, I'll let you say your piece next about Bayley and her heel run, and if you have changed your opinions of her.
Yeah, I'm happy that she went heel. I mean, it was definitely needed. I think the reason why it hasn't popped off the way that it could have popped off is that she has absolutely nobody to face. Like, there has not been one memorable feud that she's had since she's gone heel. Like, I think, you know, a good heel needs a good face to go against, and they're not giving her anything to work with. And so, you know, I thought maybe when Naomi came back, that was going to be like, okay, because everybody was super excited about Naomi. She's clearly a face. Everybody's super excited about her, and they're on the same show. Let's get them going face to face. They started it, and then all of a sudden they had to figure out something to do with Sasha. And they need to figure out a way to get Lacey Evans on TV too. So they paired, you know, so I'm like, they could have just let Naomi and Bayley kind of have a thing for a minute. And I think it would have been entertaining, but they decided to go a different direction. But I think the heel turn is good. She just needs to turn it up a little bit. Like you were saying, JJ, it's very like, she's like out of five and she needs to figure out a way to like get to a 9 or a 10 to be more of an asshole, and she's not quite an asshole yet. She's just annoying, and she needs to be an asshole, and I think they need to figure out a way to do that. And like, they just happen, and because the funny thing about it is like, Sasha has figured it out. Sasha's a jerk on Twitter. Like, she's great. Like, it's perfect, especially you're talking about how rich she is and how much money she has thanks to Vince McMahon, and how she doesn't care about any of the fans and stuff like that. That's really what, you know, that should have been Bayley's lane as well. And so I just don't know, maybe they're waiting for something to make her kind of turn up the notch a little bit, but they need to figure it out because she's just going to be kind of there, because her title reigns have just kind of been, it's just been kind of stagnant. There's not much to it, but I'm happy that she made that turn. I don't know if her music's all that great either. I feel like her music needs to be better. It's not very memorable. I wish they would change that. And her gear does look very AEW. It's very AEW.
I mean, it spells out AEW. That's why she doesn't wear the belt around her waist.
Yeah. Yeah. That's crazy.
You know what, though? She and Sasha need to do vignettes. You know, yeah. Like, rich bitch, you know, vignettes of literally them in a strip club tossing money. You know, whatever else, whatever, you like, music video-esque.
Yeah.
Vignettes.
That's what they I agree with that. They need to do it together. Yeah.
So my biggest issue with her going heel is
she won the title, but she always feels secondary in all of her stories. Like, mm-hmm. Lacey Evans was beefing with Sasha, but because Sasha got hurt or whatever, she had to kind of turn her focus to Bayley. And it always just feels like we care way more about Sasha than we do Bayley. And that's probably a lot to do with the fact that Sasha as a heel is fully 100% fleshed out. Mm-hmm. And she's a heel at any point in time, and she 100% believes she's better than you in the ring. She's richer than you outside the ring. Vince is her homeboy, and there's not really anything you can tell her. Bayley is still trying to find her way in that and find her confidence. Like, I feel like part of Bayley's problem, which has kind of always been her problem, is she lacks 100% confidence in herself and her abilities. And I think part of that has to do with when she was in NXT, they pushed Charlotte, they pushed Becky, they pushed, who's the other one? Asuka. And then Bayley got left behind. Remember, Bayley and Carmella got left behind. And then Carmella got called up, and then Bayley still was in NXT, and then Bayley finally got called up. And even in that, she still got, like, lost in the shuffle between Sasha, Charlotte, and Becky. She's always the afterthought, when in the grand scheme of things, she's probably a better wrestler. No, she is a better wrestler than Becky. She's just not as well-rounded as Sasha and Charlotte, but she can go with them. Like, the confidence that Becky has now, that's what Bayley needs to have. Because Bayley is better than her. And it took a lot of seeing Becky have the belt as long as she's had it now to realize, like, Becky's not that good, and to realize she's the weakest link in the four horsewomen, and that Bayley is significantly better than her. And I think that Bayley needs to feel that same way about herself and show that on the mic, and put that work in the ring. She's wrestling people who are actually, you know, good in the ring. I did not like Lacey Evans, but from when she first came in on the Mae Young Classic until now, she has gotten better. They do kind of write her story in very weird ways, and I really think she should just be a heel instead of trying to make me like her because she has a kid. Like, I don't, if all of them got kids, girl, that's not enough.
Nobody cares.
Right, nobody cares.
I don't
care.
And I got kids, so?
Right. Yeah. And the way that they did Naomi in the Saudi show, like, it wasn't, like, it was an asshole move with the whole I'm gonna pin her with her foot in the shirt thing, but, like, they never kind of went back to that, and now we're doing tag matches. And then they just had this tag match with Alexa, and then which was more so to push the Kabuki Warriors versus Alexa and Nikki storyline than, like, actually do something with Sasha and Bayley. But even still, even in that situation, Sasha got the submission on Nikki, Alexa got knocked out by Asuka, and Bayley just on the side.
Yeah,
like, she still is an afterthought.
Yeah, go ahead. This is kind of a segue, but can we just talk about how much WWE dropped the ball with Naomi with her coming back? Like, had everybody, people who don't even watch wrestling, were like, who is this amazing black girl in the neon colors? And WWE dropped the ball. And it's just like, clearly they don't care about black viewers, because they could have gained quite a bit of viewers if they would have just, like, put a rocket on her back and then shot her to the moon, because she had people who didn't even, like, she was just everywhere for a good minute, like, everywhere, and they just totally dropped the ball. It was really disappointing to see, because she should be, like, the face of WWE women right now. She should be, her and Bianca and Binky should be, like, killing it right now, and they're not doing enough with either one of them. It's disappointing.
Well, you know why, is it, look at what they did with Kofi Mania. Kofi Mania existed because we insisted. I mean, I whipped my kids up in a fury where they felt like this was going to be a loss of all black people everywhere forever and ever if he didn't win, and we was going to go riot. Well, then all we got to do something. And I think that, you know, enough people said, I'm going to be at WrestleMania, and if Kofi loses, we riot, where he realized, you know what? They just might. But then he had no plan for Kofi. They didn't really invest in Kofi. Kofi wasn't sent on the Today Show in SNL like he was John Cena or The Rock, or hell, even Roman Reigns. They weren't sent out as a face to say, hey, you know, I mean, and they were a little bit, but so much of it was homegrown, like Andreas Hale did it. And, you know, where you saw, where he collected all of the people's reactions. The other wrestlers of color said something on Twitter about like, hey, this means a lot. To, you know, to see this type of representation. Like you said, people were talking about Naomi, but see, not only was it, you know, her return, but it was all about her look. Here you got a beautiful, dark-skinned sister with natural hair and a big old booty.
Yeah.
And, you know, and she's like, killing her Negro nose.
And killing it, yeah. And she's killing it. And the one thing that, like, I noticed was as soon as her music hit and she got into the ring, all the women who were in the ring, they were even excited. Like, for her to be there. And I don't know if y'all seen the little snippet of Dolph talking to Naomi in the back before she goes out.
Yeah.
And he's like, I'm so excited for you to come out. I'm so excited for you to be back. You're going to kill it. I hope you kill it. Like, Dolph is cheering her on and she's so excited. And it's just like, I can only imagine that most people backstage feel that way about Naomi. And then, like, to listen to her pop when her music hit, like, fans were so geeked for her to be back. And WWE just didn't do enough to even capitalize on that.
She's basically like the, like, Kofi. Like, there's not one person backstage that does not like Kofi. And there's not one person backstage that does not like, doesn't like Naomi. Like, Dolph Ziggler is somebody that we all kind of joke about and we're like, we know he's pretty much MAGA, but he loves himself some Naomi. Like, everybody loves that girl.
I didn't know that.
Oh, yeah. He's probably MAGA light. He's probably not, like, super into it, but he's definitely MAGA. I had to stop following him, some of the people that he was retweeting and some of the things. I was just like, okay, y'all.
Him, AJ, and a few other ones. Oh, Lord.
Yeah, and they all searching for Ebony and Tumblr and everywhere else. So.
Exactly. There's, like, nobody who doesn't like Naomi. The only people who don't like her are the neckbeards on Twitter who don't like dark-skinned women and need to sit down somewhere. But yeah, I hope that they figure something out for Naomi and for Binky and Bianca. Like, they need to figure something out for her and Binky.
All right, speaking of figuring out something, how would you ladies book Sasha Banks after WrestleMania? Now, again, last year WrestleMania was the point of discontent for Sasha, where after Mania she took her hiatus. Mm-hmm. Then she came back, and then she's kind of taken another little hiatus between being in the next season of The Mandalorian and maybe being injured as well. But we're back coming up upon WrestleMania season. As we record this, it's still on. So how would you book her after WrestleMania this year to, you know, reach her full potential now that she is back as a heel? And like you ladies have been talking about, she's, you know, fully embraced it and got that thing rolling in on the main roster. So Madame Lizette, I'll start with you. What would be some of your ideas for Sasha Banks after WrestleMania?
So I keep wondering if she needs to turn on Bayley, but then I don't want to make Bayley a babyface.
Yeah.
So I'm just like, okay, then what we need to do is work on getting them back into the tag title picture and doing the tag title run the way they wanted it to do. So, like, defending the title on every show, challenging NXT, challenging Sabraw, challenging SmackDown, like, actually letting them take those tag belts and run them all over, because we obviously it works. You have Charlotte showing up on NXT. You have Rhea showing up on Raw. You have Binky showing up on NXT. Binky showing up on Raw. Like, people watch all three shows, and we don't look at them as three separate entities anymore. We look at them as three big, massive things that we watch Monday, Wednesdays, and Fridays, even though SmackDown has been struggling, so I don't really watch it. But either way, like, we look at them as three very important things. And so I feel like at this point, it looks like the Kabuki Warriors are probably going to lose to Alexa and Nikki, because they got to put a title on Alexa for whatever reason that is. And if that's going to be the case, then Sasha and Bayley should come out here and be like, hey, we tapped
Nikki out during our tag match. We deserve a tag title run. And, like, let them take the titles off of them. And then allow them to defend it against all these women. Bring back the Iconics. We have no idea where they went. They just, like,
yeah, they lost totally the titles dropped off
and
the
never came back. The Kabuki Warriors now have new music. They have a whole new gimmick. Like, they're both heels. They're excellent in the ring. I don't speak a lick of Japanese, but whatever promos they be cutting, I'm here for it. Like, it gets me pumped. Gets me hyped. Like, I feel like if you're not going to have her turn on Bayley or and have Bayley drop the title to someone else or where she can go after it, then give her the tag title belts and have them build those belts up because those belts matter. I mean, even the men's tag belts, I hate to say, like, I'm so tired of seeing the Usos in the New Day because I am, but it's just, like, they have the best feud. They have the best matches. So I can't even be upset that WWE always puts them in the tag title, like, spotlight, even if it's for a short-term situation. Like, that's what we should be doing with Sasha and Bayley because out of all of these women who we have on the roster, we pair them together and they look better together than when they're apart and acting like the other one doesn't exist.
All right.
Yep.
Ms. V, your thoughts on Sasha Banks and how you would book her going forward after WrestleMania?
You already said what I was going to say. I was going to basically say that Bayley should drop her title at Mania and she and Sasha need to go on a tag team run. I would hate to see the Kabuki Warriors lose their title to Nikki Cross and Alexa. I don't really get them.
I don't either.
I don't like that pairing. I feel like they just need to figure something to do with Nikki Cross. So I don't really like that pairing, but I think, you know, a feud be the thing that's difficult is, you know, Vince always has to have a heel against a face. You can't have two heels or two faces going against each other. But the Kabuki Warriors are amazing heels. But if we could get Becky and Bayley and Sasha on the same page and get Bayley on the same level as a Sasha's heel status and have, like, they could have some amazing matches together. And they could help elevate those titles because we really haven't seen the Kabuki Warriors really get challenged for their titles all that much. And I don't think Alexa and Nikki are the ones that should be doing it. It needs to actually be a real true tag team. And I think that Bayley and Sasha could be that. And then at some point, you know, maybe once she holds the titles for a little bit, then she can turn on Bayley, or maybe when they lose them, she can turn on Bayley and be upset with her for them losing the titles. But they do need to go on a run and go through every show. They need to go through NXT and Raw and SmackDown, facing every set of tag team women that we have, and then go that direction. But I would like to see her eventually get a belt back around her waist. I think for her to be a true heel and for her to be the best heel that she can be, I think she needs to have a title at some point. So hopefully, you know, it's the tag team titles because I don't see a way for her to get the women's title from Bayley without them turning against each other. So I'm thinking it's probably going to be that direction, going with the tag team belts and going against everybody in all three shows. So.
All right. And Miss Jupiter Julep, your booking suggestion for the good Sue Sasha Banks?
Well, damn, it was a three-peat. I had two concerns. The thing is, if Bayley drops the belt, then who would get it? And then what would that mean for that person? Because obviously I'm hoping it's Naomi, but then who does Naomi have to challenge her? Is she going to just be in a dead-end storyline like Bayley is? But then I thought, in terms of the tag team, is Kyrie still injured?
I think so, but I think they're probably gonna put her back together because they at least have her coming out. They didn't even have her doing that much. And no, she had a match like last week.
Yeah, she did recently.
So she's probably not concussed anymore. She was.
Okay. had a weird thing of having a stable with the Kabuki Warriors and the Boston Hug Connection. I think they still call themselves that. I mean, but you know,
no, they probably won't do that. They'll probably
thank God right now. Well, you know, but think of it this way: where the four of them run and shop everywhere. So I'm thinking, like, going to NXT and having them cut a promo on Io Shirai and Beck and Binky. You know, like, can you imagine Asuka and Sasha cutting that promo challenging Binky and Io? And then, you know, maybe somewhere else, like just combining the four of them together in different matches, which would also cover for anybody who's injured or anybody who needs a vacation or anybody who's going to go tape something else, that type of a deal, because they all have bright colors, and just seeing what their personalities could do together in terms of revitalizing story. And like you said, they should be running roughshod in all of them, which is one of the reasons why I'm so glad that Charlotte is challenging Rhea for that title, because it's not a, when I say going up, you know, like going down to NXT or going up, it's literally to me geography. Like NXT is in Florida, so, you know, and everything else to me is Connecticut or New York based. So if you say you're going to get the call up, it's a geography thing, not necessarily a branding issue. So, but if not that type of four-way combobulation, what would I want to see with Sasha? And really and truly, everybody I could think of is at NXT that I would want to see her face, which is sad because, you know, we have Charlotte there now, but Charlotte's only there. You know, she interacted with Binky, true, but she's there for Rhea Ripley, whereas I would love Sasha to have interaction with yes, Bianca, but also not Baszler's own thing, but also her having interaction with Shotzi and Ia and even Casey, you know, just like the Mae Young Classic ladies, just any of them, just to see what she can do with them. I think that a lot of them fit her body structure a little bit better. I would love to see what she could do with Xia Li or Mia Yim. Would love to see it. So I would like to see her go to NXT, go down to NXT, and just mix it up with some of those ladies.
All right. Yeah, that would be fun. That would definitely probably give her a lot of rejuvenation and fun and passion, mm-hmm. you know, just to be out of that main roster grind and get back to just having fun down at NXT. I think that's what looks like it's happened to Finn Balor since he's been on NXT. It just looks like he's having more fun being there and being involved in that situation. You brought up Rhea Ripley. In her impending challenge with Charlotte. When the travel situation happened back in November or end of October, and they kind of had to throw that impromptu SmackDown together with the NXT stars kind of doing that invasion, three people stood out: Keith Lee, Bianca Belair, and Rhea Ripley. Rhea Ripley went on to become the NXT Women's Champion. But my question to you all is, has that actually helped or hurt her becoming the champion? Do you feel that she is still, after she's been the champion here for a few minutes, at that same level that she was heading into Survivor Series and that TakeOver weekend? So, Ms. V, I'll start with you first on this one.
Oh, God. I'm the wrong person to start with on this one.
I'll go. I think that it has helped her, and I think that it has also helped change the perception of NXT from being the proving ground to just being the place where champions reside, period. Like it's no different than SmackDown. It's no different than Raw. Each thing has its own ways where storylines are better, talent is better, chemistry and, you know, production are better, you know, on some brand sometimes. So for me, I think that I've seen growth in her. Her promos are better. Her look is still good. I see her confidence growing. There was no other opponent. Charlotte, if you were going to have Charlotte win the Royal Rumble, which if you can't tell from my tone, I wasn't with, then...
Nobody was.
Huh?
Then no one was.
Yeah, even my cat was disappointed. Yeah, he left the room like, nah, I'd rather chase my tail. I mean, like he wasn't with it either. So, I mean, but if it had to be her, Charlotte, then the only person, there was only two people that she could have faced. One was the person I wanted to win a Royal Rumble, which was Shayna Baszler. But Shayna Baszler is not the champion. The other is Rhea Ripley. So if Charlotte wants to be the queen and say that she's the greatest and whatever, then she's going to have to be decidedly Rhea Ripley and later on Shayna Baszler. This is, you know, to prove that she's the best in a division of the time. So to reiterate, I think that it's been good for her. I don't think that she's cooled off at all. I think that she's right at the temperature she needs to be. And I think that on this very lackluster, disease-ridden road to WrestleMania, that she has, that the program between Charlotte and Rhea has been a highlight, especially with Binky and, you know, constantly reminding us, she don't even go here. She's not that special. Let's remind her that you are, you know, like, as everybody likes to say, you know, wrestling is not a sexually transmitted disease. It also ain't always genetic. So she's
got to
prove it.
That's a good one.
All right, Madam Lizette, while Ms. V is still thinking, we'll give her some more time, and you can give your thoughts on, has being the NXT Women's Champion helped or hurt Rhea Ripley leading up to her WrestleMania match with Charlotte?
So I feel the opposite about Rhea. I was very high on Rhea before she won the title belt. And then she won it. And one thing that I've realized is she's not as strong on the microphone than as she probably should be. And she can come off a little bit awkward. And I don't really like her matches as much as I thought I would. So for me, I think that her being champion as like an overall crowd, the crowd still loves her. But I wonder if that has to do with the fact that, like, Binky kind of put some things or set some things in place that she can kind of go off of to make herself appear to be stronger. Well, in the grand scheme of things, we only really care about this feud because Binky was in it initially. Like, when Charlotte comes out, what the NXT crowd chants is, you don't even go here. That's mm-hmm. what Binky said. That's not what Rhea said.
Mm-hmm.
And Charlotte mm-hmm. basically built her promos off the fact that, you're right, I don't go here anymore, but I built NXT. And Binky has told her several times, I don't care about what you built because we still here and it's better that you're not here. So like, because I think that Binky deserves to be in the position that Rhea is in currently, I think that, yay, I'm happy that Rhea is there, but I'm also just like, everyone tells me how Binky's not ready. Binky's not ready. Binky's not ready. And I'm like, but Rhea's not ready either. But y'all have somehow figured out a way to like make it like Rhea is prepared for this. Binky is better on the microphone. Binky is better as far as like her entrances. She's better to me as a wrestler. Like, and she's lost. Like, she's lost that title belt and never won it. Rhea won it on her first try. Like, there's just so many different things. I'm just like, okay, I don't really think her being champion has benefited her in a good way, because once she loses that title belt, what's she going to do? Start from the bottom and work her way back up? Like, you already shot her to the mountain. She didn't have to have any feuds. She pretty much was the only person who was at work that day when Triple H was like, yo, we got to fly to New York. And she was the one who got to have the match. She was the one who then y'all thrusted her into this spot where she was the main person. But
at the end of the day, the person who I think really would benefit more from this is Binky, because Binky has carried a lot of this since. Like, we've only done, what, two or three weeks of this promo now without Binky being involved. Well, not even 2 weeks, because what, they Binky and Charlotte had a match not too long ago, so it hasn't even been that long. She hasn't been having to carry this feud so much. She's been sharing that load with somebody else. And Charlotte is Charlotte. Charlotte talks her shit because Charlotte feels like she's the best. And I don't knock her for feeling that way, because in the grand scheme of things, she is the best. Like, even without her title reign, she still is probably one of the best talkers on the microphone. And she's still probably the most athletic and skilled wrestler that they have that is a woman. So, I mean, she's not wrong in that. And being Ric Flair's daughter also helps. So, and her man is really attractive. Like, she's winning on all levels. So, like, Rhea doesn't have that yet. Like, she just doesn't. And I don't know if the title belt has really helped me like her more. It's kind of made me realize, like, oh, you're a little weak in some areas. And I think somebody else should be in your position. Or, I mean, even if it wasn't Binky, Io could be in her position. Like, there are still at least two other women that I'm like, I'd rather them be the women champion right now and going against Charlotte instead of her.
All right. Cool. Ms. V, have you came up with something you'd like to add to that conversation?
No, I agree with Madame Lizette.
Okay.
Well, yeah, that's, you know what? You gave me some things to think about, but I do think you said, well, where do you send her? Probably back to NXT UK, which is where she came from.
Yeah, but the thing about NXT UK is there's just not enough eyes on it. That's part of the reason why they have Finn going back to NXT UK, is because they're trying to get people to watch it. And the crazy thing is, I think I've watched three of their four takeovers, and all of them have been fire. Like, every single one of their takeovers have been excellent, from the men's tag matches to the title matches to the women's matches. NXT UK is like the best, most well-rounded like show that just doesn't get enough like watch time, because it airs at a weird time, because it's aired in UK time and not American time. So it airs at like 2 o'clock on Thursdays, at which, I mean, you can go back and rewatch it, but still. And then of course, like, they all have weird accents, which, you know how Americans are about that. And they're built a little bit differently, and because they do English strong style, they wrestle a little bit differently. But like, all of those guys and women, they can all go. And they put on some excellent takeovers. But it's in the UK, and the UK is a different kind of wrestling, kind of the same thing with like New Japan. It's a different kind of wrestling. New Japan or Japanese strong style is just different than what you're used to watching. And it takes some time to get used to that. And I think part of the reason why I find it to be easier to watch the UK is because I watched a lot of the Cruiserweight Classic, and a lot of those guys from the Cruiserweight Classic, they were in the UK tournament for the UK title belt. And so it's just kind of transition. And so it's easier to watch, but I still don't watch week to week. I usually just catch the takeover.
Oh. All right. We're going to transition into your levels of excitement when it comes to Becky Lynch's match at WrestleMania with Shayna Baszler, from the swerve of Charlotte winning the Royal Rumble when everybody thought that this was tailor-made for Shayna, and then them having Shayna go vampire interview with the vampire on Becky to kind of start their the ball rolling with this match that's upcoming. Ms. V, we'll start with you this time. See if you got something to give us on this one. Just your excitement level for Shayna and Becky, and then what do you thought about the build so far?
I'd be way more excited about a Shayna versus Asuka match than I am about Shayna versus Becky. Because we've already established a couple of times on here that we all think that Becky is probably the weakest wrestler out of the four horsewomen. So,
yes.
And we for damn sure think she's a weaker wrestler than Asuka. So if this match is not a squash match, then what is really even happening? Because Shayna should walk in there and basically destroy Becky, because it's not believable to me for them to even be evenly matched up and for it to even really be a fight, because we know that Becky is a weaker opponent than she is. I was more excited seeing Shayna in the chamber. I mean, which I think that match was kind of wasted. It should have been like a straight head-to-head match against Shayna and Asuka. We didn't need all the other ladies in that match, but
Yo, people were so upset about folks saying that, by the way.
Yeah, which I understand. They were a lot of, I would say this, a lot of men who watched that match were like, oh, this is great to see Shayna going in there with Natty and Liv Morgan and the other Riot Squad girls and beating them up and showing her dominance. It was like, it was pointless. We all knew it was going to come down to Asuka and Shayna. Like, we knew that was going to happen. So why not just give us a dope-ass head-to-head match with the two of them that could have gone on for some time? It could have done wonders for Asuka. It could have done wonders for Shayna. Shayna still could have won, but at least they would have had an even match where we would have got some offense from Asuka, some offense from Shayna, and then we would have had a really cool match. But, like, I just thought the chamber match was dumb. It was a good match, but it was just kind of like, okay, let's get Asuka in there already. Let's get it over with. And so I was more excited to see, like, the way Asuka was, like, in the cage and she was, like, excited to get out there. Like, I'm not scared of you. I don't really care who you are. I'm fucking Asuka. I don't care. Like, I'm not scared. And then they got in there and then whatever happened. It was like, okay.
Maybe we got 5 minutes of them and then she choked her out.
And that was it. Yeah, but I'm way more excited to see Asuka and Shayna than I am to see Becky and Shayna. Becky is totally cooled off for me. Like, now that she's had that belt for so long, it's very evident that she is not cool. Like, she's actually very much a cornball. And I guess they haven't been able to find anybody who can actually take the belt from her that they trust enough at this point. Vince is going to ride her till the wheels fall off. But I'm just happy to see. I think Shayna's going to walk out with the title, so I'm happy to see it get transferred to somebody else at this point. So that's all.
All right. Miss Jupiter Julep, we'll let you come in next on just your overall excitement for Shayna and Becky and what you thought of the build.
Overall excitement. Are we doing it on a scale of 10? All right.
She's about to be shady. That's how she's about to do it.
For me?
Yep, you.
No, I was going to say, I'm a solid 5. I'm neutral. I'm like, to me, I didn't understand why she bit her.
Vince totally shit the bed on that. He totally shit the bed on that. I don't think Vince knows why he bit her.
I think he was trying to have another, like, blood moment where Becky broke her nose and it made her such a, like, a badass. And everybody was like, oh, she's a hardcore bad. I think he was trying to have another moment like that. And it totally backfired. Nobody wanted to see Shayna bite her. Like, that was just weird.
That's the only thing that WWE has a problem with. Like, if something happens organically, like Becky getting punched in the face and having a concussion or her nose broken and she just kind of went on instinct, they do have a tendency a couple of weeks later to try to, like, replicate it and stage it again in maybe a little different way. And that's why things fall flat like that, because that was just an organic moment. There was no way they didn't have that planned or anything like that. So when they try to, like you said, Miss V, recreate that same emotion, it's never going to be the same.
Yeah, because all I got was confusion. I don't really watch Raw. I listen to the WrestleCast. So you guys give me the highlights. If there's something that I need to see to seek out clips of, I will do so. But I didn't get it. I was like, that was out of Shayna's character. I mean, you know, if she, at least they could have leaned into it and had her cut a promo and playing Gangrel's music in the background. I mean, something to as a joke or, you know, just like a wink, wink, nod, nod. I didn't get it. So that kind of, I mean, my excitement for the match, as neutral as it is that I'm going to see Shayna do something on a main card on a large stage, and I want to see what she can do. But that's it, you know, and that's based on an NXT build and what she did there in NXT. So the biting and stuff, I don't get. And everything that you said, H, about Rhea Ripley, gone ahead and applied it to Becky Lynch. That's how I feel about Becky.
Right. Yeah.
you know, like that light got shined on her. There's other people that could have taken that spot. You start seeing the weaknesses. You start seeing, you know, like, maybe she shouldn't be in that position. Maybe there's somebody else that should have been there. You know, like all of those things that you said about Rhea, that is how I feel about Becky. So I don't really know what's going on. And then I did have one other thing. If they were going to have that girl bleeding, don't they got a Monday Night Messiah to come bless her better? I mean, like, why did that happen?
Oh, there is so many things.
It was behind the scenes. Off camera.
Oh, okay, fine. Well, we'll go into that then. But, you know, I'm so perplexed by that. But that's how I'm like, I'm interested to see what the ring gear is gonna be like. I'm hoping that they do an interesting thing. Becky is a cornball. Yeah, I am too. So I'm all about the puns. I think she is the keyboard warrior that most people think they are. Like, she's very good there and funny. I give her that, but on screen, yeah,
it's awkward.
It is. I don't get it. Yeah.
All right, Madam Lizette, we'll let you finish up this topic.
So Becky cooled off for me when they decided it was a good idea to have her and Seth out here being a power couple. Like, that was the worst thing that they could have done to either one of their characters, to be honest. Like, they did not need to have them trap their relationship out on national television. That, like, it didn't help anyone. As you can tell, they both at least Seth had to do a whole character change and a heel turn just to kind of like
breathe some life with her.
Yeah, breathe some life into his character, because as a couple on television, they're awkward, which most couples are awkward on television, because now you're having to act like y'all are in love and it's not natural because you are in love, but like, it's different when you're not in front of 1,000,000,000 people. And like,
the thing is, he has more chemistry with Roman than he does with Becky. Did you guys see them on Carpool Karaoke, Roman and Seth?
No.
I saw a clip on it.
Yeah, there's a clip of them where Roman like challenges Seth to give compliments, but give them as if they're talking shit to one another. And the two of them together is like, you can tell what they're saying they actually really mean. Where Roman is like, I don't know what I would do without you in my life. And then Seth's like, you're an awesome person, you have a sweet soul, and you're an amazing father. But they're saying it in like these really angry tones, and it's like, they have more chemistry than he has with his own fiance on camera, and that is that's crazy.
Yeah, some people are just not built for that, having their relationship on display. So like, that isn't even the problem. It's just the entire between Corbin and Lacey Evans and everything else, it was just a terrible idea altogether. I don't understand why Vince made her bite her. Like, I don't get that, because the last time we saw Shayna and Becky together was at Survivor Series. Shayna won. Becky was pissed. Becky put Shayna through a table. All we had to do was have Shayna come back out and put her through a damn table, and we would have just been like, all right, cool. Like, it would have made sense, because you know y'all have real life beef, because we've already seen it. We saw it. We were there. You rerun like those little clips they like to do, and where they don't tell you, they don't give you the match, but they give you the match, and then you know that explains it. They got real life beef.
Paige, well, you know what that is called? I mean, that's calling the spade a spade. And doesn't she have that all in her, you know, isn't that her whole gimmick? She's calling the spade a spade. So you wrote, I mean, that writes itself. I didn't even know, I did not have the WWE network, so I did not see that. I did not know that Becky put her through a table.
And the thing was, at the time, it didn't make any sense, because Becky didn't take the pin. Bayley took the pin. So Shayna pinned Bayley. Becky is out on the outside of the ring. She's all devastated and upset or whatever. And I think like Shayna's talking shit, basically. And Becky gets pissed off, stands up and puts her through the announce table, and then stands over her,
with the belt, with the Raw Women's Title belt, and it's just like, I'm the baddest bitch here, blah, 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 blah. So we've already built that. And if you've watched any of, like, any of NXT, whenever the four horsewomen come to NXT, the other four horsewomen are there. And so everybody, there's always this tension. There's always this beat, which is why we all thought we were getting four horsewomen versus four horsewomen at WrestleMania, and we're just not doing it right now. Okay, cool.
We're not doing it ever because
the other two horsewomen are just not very good. So I get it. And so the story of Marina Shafir and Jessamyn Duke.
Yep.
And
nobody.
And so you've already built the story. You just need to just take some clips. Triple H has plenty. Take some clips, slice them together. Survivor Series, the last time they're in the same ring with each other. And then you have Shayna come out, choke her out, and bam, or put it through a table or whatever. And you have the feud. You did not need to have her fight her. And you can tell the entire crowd was just like, what? And so it didn't go over very well. And then Paul Heyman was just like, all right, get Shayna out, get her out. Like, because the rest of the show, they were like, oh, Shayna's left. Shayna's not here no more. Shayna's gone. Because I'm pretty sure Paul Heyman was like, that didn't go over well. Vince, like, that didn't work. So, and then in this weird way, they decided to give us this Asuka versus Shayna beef. That's way more entertaining than Shayna versus Becky.
Right.
And so you're just like, all right, so when is Shayna going to take the title off of Becky so I can see Shayna fight Asuka?
Yeah.
Because now I don't care about Becky. Like, this is the same thing with Bayley. You're the third wheel to your own title belt.
Yeah.
And it's totally because they didn't write the feud in a way that made us care. Like, I totally get why Binky or why Charlotte showed up at NXT and whooped Binky, because Binky put her hands up. Like, it makes sense when you put things in, like, in context. But I don't understand why Shayna bit, like, why she bit her. It doesn't make sense. And then they had Shayna cut that promo after Hell in a, or Extreme Rules or whatever, where they had her call her a bitch. But, like, it's one of those awkward, it was awkward because Shayna, like, says her spiel, makes, like, a 10-second pause and goes, bitch. And it's just like, what? Do y'all not know how to cuss either? It's the same thing with the scripted promos. Like, that's not where that word should have went. Like, we should have started with that, put the word in the middle. Like, that cuss word did not need to go at the end. And Becky did come out, like, the next Monday, cut a really good promo. She was like, I might be a bitch, but I'm the baddest bitch. Da-da-da. And it worked. But it still was like, yeah, but now I don't care. Because Sunday, I just saw, you know, a small, like, preview of what Shayna and Asuka's going to look like. And that's what I want.
Yep.
So can we get to that, please? Because that's going to be better than what you and Shayna are going to give me. And I really do hope that it turns out Shayna just chokes her out in 5 seconds. Like, we shouldn't drag this match out. We shouldn't. No, because I also don't believe Becky is better than Asuka. I don't believe Becky should have beat Asuka. I don't believe that feud should have went the way that it went. And it's not very believable. And because it's not very believable, I don't think that Becky should go longer than 5 minutes with Shayna, because Asuka only went 5 minutes with Shayna. Like, you're going to have to make it a short, quick match, because that's what I feel like it should be. Plus, I mean, if Becky goes longer than that, then we also have to talk about the fact that, like, Binky lasted longer than that. Rhea has lasted longer than that. There's a whole bunch of women in NXT who've lasted longer than that in the ring with Shayna. So, and I don't think Becky's better than any of them. So, like, come on, y'all. Like, You have to understand that the women's talent that's on in NXT is significantly better than the women's talent that's on Raw and SmackDown. And the two best wrestlers you have on Raw and SmackDown right now are probably Charlotte and Asuka, followed by Sasha and what will be Shayna since she got the call-up. The rest of them are not that great, and we don't really care about them. And Becky's the first one I don't care about, because even as champion, she just doesn't do it for me anymore. It's not organic. It feels very staged. It feels very unrealistic. It felt good last year. This year, I'm just like, girl, if you don't drop that title.
It's too long. It's gone. It's been too drawn out. Way too drawn out.
Well, you know who made that was Nia Jax, and that's who we're missing.
Yeah. Well, know, so she was supposed to. The rumor was she was supposed to come back, come back to SmackDown, but they, with them having to move it or whatever, they're probably going to postpone her coming back. So they just let Jeff come back, which Jeff coming back was fine since we didn't really care about Jeff Hardy coming back anyway.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I his brother looks
good. For that. Yes, his brother's gone though, so it's just like if your brother's gone, how much longer is it going to be until you're gone?
He resigned his contract.
Who, Matt or Jeff?
Jeff
did.
Yeah.
Oh, so he's sticking it out. He's sticking around.
Yeah.
Well, I ain't gonna lie. I fast forwarded through his music, so I saw his 1994. Huh?
He got new music from what I read. I didn't.
No, no, no. They were saying that they want him to bring back his old music. I think he came out to the Hardy Boy. Still.
Yeah,
so they're waiting for him. Yeah, they want him to come out to his solo stuff now that he's by himself and his brother's gone. Jeff is the more popular brother, and he was the one that could survive with, like, on TV anyway without Matt. It's crazy because he's been through a million things. Like, drugs has, like, ravaged everything but his body, apparently, because he is, like, he still can move. He doesn't look like he's, you know, in pain like Matt did. Like, Matt looks like he's in pain every time he tries to do a rest. He's so slow in the ring now. So I think Jeff will be able to last a little bit longer. Vince is going to keep him around for the nostalgia as long as he can. So.
Yeah, but the thing about Matt that I learned was, like, Matt was the creative one. He just wasn't charismatic. And so that's why he just didn't get over in the same way his brother did. Until his wife or girlfriend decided to cheat on him.
And Jeff was the good looking one, and Jeff is the one that does the crazy stuff in the ring. So
yeah,
Matt was just kind of like the tag along brother who just so happened to have the creative ideas to kind of ride along with his brother. So
our next topic that we're going to talk about, we've got two more to go here. We're going to talk about Bianca Belair.
Yo, they're going to be so tired of us when this is done.
Well, I mean, they haven't heard from you guys for a while, so, you know, it's going to be lengthy. I'm going to pose this scenario, and you ask me which one do you think is going to happen first. Will Bianca Belair become the NXT Women's Champion, or will she be a member of the main roster, either SmackDown or Raw, by SummerSlam? So whoever wants to go first can jump in.
I totally think she's probably going to be on the main roster and not NXT champion. I think that whole boat, that ship has sailed. I don't think that Triple H even sees a point in putting the title belt on her anymore just because, A, she's lost so many times, and B, her character is so much better, and just the crowd is so invested in her already. It doesn't even matter if she becomes champion. Would I like for her to become champion? Yes. But do I think that at this point it's necessary? No. Like, maybe she can do like Charlotte and come back and win it for 24 hours and then lose it on like the following show, and then that'll be the end of it. But just to say that she did it. But outside of that, I really just think that she can just get the call up and that'll be it.
Yeah.
Well, you know, I'm thinking about what you said before when we talked about Charlotte versus Rhea and what happens if Charlotte wins or if Rhea wins. Like, so if Charlotte wins, what happens with Rhea? And the thing is, somebody's, like, Charlotte's going to have to run that belt around NXT for a circuit, at least, into a takeover. And then, you know, drop it and build something. And the person that she's already built a story with is Bianca. That story is already there. Like you said, like that storyline is between the three of them. The title picture is between the three of them. Even if Rhea retains and Charlotte goes back to SmackDown. Where is she? Raw, SmackDown? I don't know. On Raw. Then you know, you still have Bianca there to challenge Rhea and said, all right, girl, now that the interloper is gone, what's up? So I don't know. I think that Bianca being there is going to help the transition of whatever happens after WrestleMania. I'm gonna take the other side of that coin and say she's gonna get the belt. But you also gave us a longer time like to SmackDown. I mean, not SmackDown, excuse me, SummerSlam. Will she be main roster there? I don't know. I don't know if she and hubby are saying, hey, we'd like to travel and be together. So I don't know. I'm not entirely sure what that would be. I know that she has made noise as well as Naomi about wanting to work together. But my concern is that, like Naomi, they won't know what to do with her.
If they made them a tag team, that would be excellent.
Hell yeah. It would
be so dope. It would be so good. Like, I hate that we have to always pair the ethnics together. Like, you got to pair Asuka and Kairi Sane together. Now you got to pair, you know, Naomi and Bianca together. But it's just because I honestly, maybe it's just because, like, no one else can match the flavor the way that, you know. But I did like when Naomi and Asuka were paired together for that.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, I love that. Like,
I did
that
was too. Really dope. I did too.
That was really, really dope.
KV, who was Ember paired with?
Stop that.
I don't even know.
God damn.
Oh, God. Because no one cares. I have no idea.
Well, I don't know. I think, I do know that, like, Ember and Alexa are really, really close.
Yeah,
of course.
Which I just
Alexa doesn't go with anybody except for Ember. That says something.
And Nia, and like they had to break her and Nia up.
Yeah,
which is really interesting because like Alexa's really close with Braun Strowman, and everyone loves Braun.
Yeah,
like and he's such a goofball. He's such a
goofball.
I wonder if
we lost V.
Uh-oh,
Miss V. Did she close it? That happened to me once.
Okay, letting her be great. Uh-oh. But Madame Lizette, we didn't get your thoughts on just where you thought Binky would end up by SummerSlam.
I said that I think that she should make it to the main roster.
Main roster.
But the thought that I'm having now is, okay, so let's say we don't have WrestleMania, and I'm pretty sure we're not going to. So we're not going to have WrestleMania. Does that mean that we push out all the pay-per-views so we can have WrestleMania? Or do we just act like WrestleMania doesn't happen and we just run it back next year? Because, I mean, like, think about it. If WrestleMania doesn't happen, then our next big four pay-per-view is SummerSlam. SummerSlam is in August.
Yes.
The way it's looking, WrestleMania probably won't take place until, like, if it does take place, won't take place until, like, May or June. That's not enough time between WrestleMania and SummerSlam to do something on SummerSlam. So, do you just cancel WrestleMania altogether and then just do everything at SummerSlam, or do you just do a combo show with WrestleMania and SummerSlam and just make it all just one big show?
What they might try to do, if they can work it out with the NFL stadium, is maybe in place of SummerSlam have it be WrestleMania. And then you still have the same slot and you don't interrupt a big four pay-per-view, and then you can keep everything else after that the same.
And then also, I feel like, don't they have a Saudi show coming up too?
No, they already had it
that time. Yeah, but they have two a year.
Oh.
It would be it would probably be, they just went in when they go. They just came back. So
February. They went in February.
It'll probably be June when they go again.
Well, there could be a good chance they can't even travel out of the country like that.
Right.
Yeah, I feel like what I hope as a wrestling fan for a WWE is that they're just going to shorten the or get rid of some pay per views that we don't care about.
Yeah, and honestly, like, you know what?
Big four. This could be a positive.
This could be a good thing because we get like worn out with the amount of pay per views and the amount of, like, this is gonna make Vince have to switch things up a little bit. And make the storylines that he's doing purposeful and make them like actually have to really matter. So it could be a positive that we're pushing back Mania and getting rid of some other pay-per-views that don't really matter. It could be a good thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, maybe not money-wise.
That's the one benefit that AEW has, which is like they really only have a pay-per-view like every quarter. So like the only other problem with that is you have to pay $50 per pay-per-view, so that's $200 a year. I just don't see myself chalking up that much money ever.
But WWE's trying to get paired up with like ESPN Plus to, I think, make the big four pay-per-views back on pay-per-view again.
I already decided if that's what Vince decides he's gonna do, I'm still not paying for them. Yeah, I have a friend who and I was just like, so we're watching them together, right? Because I'm not paying for them.
You can't, honestly, you know, he opened up Pandora's box. You cannot go back after you let people not have to pay $50 for a pay-per-view for what, how many years has it been now? 5 years?
Nobody's
gonna go back and be like, oh sure. No, gonna happen.
Well, I think, and also a few things, now that the streaming wars have exploded, it's not, and you're talking about people, even if you've cut the cord to cable, just paying for all of the different niche streaming is going to be hard to then on top of that, right? If you didn't cut cable. But now I want to say this, though. I haven't watched any of the AEW pay-per-views because I wasn't entirely certain how to get them. But they're about to be paired up with HBO Max because they're on TNT. TNT is a Warner company. Warner owns HBO. So they have an opportunity, really, to put those pay-per-views, like maybe pay something like $5 extra or whatever it is to pay for it instead of $50 if you get HBO Max. Like, there's a way to figure that out.
So the thing
More eyeballs.
So the thing about HBO Max that some people don't know is if you currently have HBO Now or HBO Go, the one you have to pay for, it's going to, your subscription is going to transfer to Max.
Yes.
And if you currently have HBO through your cable provider, like I do, your cable provider is going to be able to get you Max. So people think they have to come out with, a lot of folks are thinking that they have to come out with another set of money, and they don't. It's going to transfer around. They posted that like last year, when they first started kind of talking about like subscriptions and how much it's going to cost and all of that. And that was one of my biggest things. I'm at a point where I'm just not willing to pay for any more subscription services. Like, that's one of the reasons why I didn't watch Wilder versus Fury Part 2. Cause I was just like, oh, so even if I download ESPN Plus, I still have to pay to watch the fight. And I was like, well, then what's the point of me having ESPN Plus anyway?
UFC.
Now we're going to get to our very final topic, and it's just kind of an overview here of kind of some things that have been standing out. So Wednesday Night Wars, you know, we've been 6 months into that between NXT and Dynamite going head-to-head and kind of how that's changed the landscape of wrestling. Just overall, what was the road to WrestleMania, which is now very much unknown. Just some thoughts that y'all have on the new Monday Night Messiah, the Street Profits reign, and promotion from the summer where they were just talking to now being the Raw champions. And then finally, your impressions of Keith Lee and the run that he's been on. So anything that you want to tackle or all of the things that you want to tackle, I'll just open the forum up. And we'll start with Ms. V, since she got cut off and we didn't really get a chance for her to finish out her last answer. We'll let you start with just overall thoughts on any of those topics or all of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't even know what I was talking about before when I got cut off. But Monday night, okay, I feel like we've already kind of talked about the road to WrestleMania, and we kind of talked about the AEW and WWE Wednesday Night Wars. I clearly don't watch AEW, so I have nothing to say about that. But Monday Night Messiah, I think it has potential to be really, really good. Seth looks amazing. I'm all on board with the leather jacket and the man bun. Like, let me see that all the time. I think the problem is that he does not have, outside of Buddy Murphy, I don't care about AOP. And I don't think he has good enough opponents at this point yet. Like, it'd be so dope if they were still one roster and they weren't split and we were able to get a Bloodline versus Monday Night Messiah and his disciples. Like that, I think, because they're evenly matched and like as far as fans being excited about everybody that's a part of the feud, I think that would work for him. But I really think in order for it to really hit its peak, they need to get Seth someone evenly matched with his faction. I think that's why, you know, the Shield popped off so well. Not only were everybody cared about all three guys in that, but they had the Wyatt family, which everybody also cared about everybody in that crew as well. And they were even, they were evenly yoked. Everybody wanted to see them go against each other. There's nobody right now on Raw that I care to see the Monday Night Messiah and the Disciples. He needs to give a name for the whole crew. There's nobody that I really care to see him go up against right now. And I think he could push his promos a little bit further, like really, really, really lean into it and be super offensive, but really lean into it. But I don't think he's gone that far yet. But I think if he did, it would be really, really dope. I actually like the gimmick. So, and Keith Lee is amazing. He's really cool. I like everything. There's nothing that he's done that I haven't been excited to see. A lot of people were, you know, pissed that he didn't beat Roman Reigns in whatever match that was, but the best thing that could have happened for him was for Roman to give him the rub at the end and shake his hand and say, you know, put him over. And he's just been killing it ever since. So a lot of people talk a lot of shit about Roman Reigns, but that dude has put over a lot of stars that are on TV right now. He has given the rub to a lot of people, and Keith Lee is definitely one of them. So, yeah, that's all I got to say.
I think to your Monday Night Messiah point, I think they had the formula with the Samoa Joe, the way they brought Samoa Joe into it by having AOP attack him and then having him and Kevin Owens kind of link up and like, hey, you know what I'm saying? We ain't never really seen eye to eye, but you got beef, I got beef, and we'll figure it out. And then, you know, they kind of got the Viking Raiders into it to kind of match up with AOP. So
I think, team nobody cares about.
Right.
Yep, no one cares.
But visually, it was a match. So I think they had people excited. And then with Samoa Joe getting suspended for the drug test or whatever, and got hurt, then got suspended for drug test or wellness or whatever, it just kind of fell apart. And then they kind of put the Street Profits in it. And then now it's just kind of falling apart.
And the Street Profits didn't make sense. That was part of the issue. It was just like, where'd they come from?
Like, I'm happy that they're champions. It doesn't make sense for them to be going against they haven't been on the roster long enough to really have beef with Seth. So it's just a little bit
It sounds weird. Like y'all like didn't have any plans and you threw
exactly
them in. Exactly.
Well, you know what? And in fact, I think that it could have made sense if they were the Disciples, because the first, like Don said, the introduction of them were of talking. They were recapping. They were what had been seen on Raw or the pay-per-view and what was coming up, or they were selling something. So they really could have been mouthpieces or disciples for the Messiah had they done it right. So they should have been with him rather than against him, in my opinion.
Yeah. But they needed somebody to take the tag team. There's no other tag team on Raw right now that anybody cares about.
There's not a tag team, like, really in, like, there's not a tag team, period. If we're being honest. Like, Vince has pretty much killed that entire division, which we all know he doesn't like tag team, so it totally makes sense why it's dead in the water. But,
Madam Lizette, some final thoughts on any of those topics or just a final in general of what's been going on?
So I think that what we need to do is we need to put Seth together with like a black pastor and like really have him learn how to like create some disciples and believers.
No, you don't.
Because Creflo Dollar just
needs to hang out with Big E.
That worked.
Put him with New Day. Honestly, put him with New. When Seth was like rolling with New Day and they were doing those backstage segments, it was amazing. And I honestly think it could be a really cool refresh for all of them to let. And then this would be a way for New Day to turn heel again, which they have been clearly clamoring to do because they talk about it on their podcast all the time. About how the most fun they have is when they get to talk to kids and make fun of children and break kids.
Yo, Biggie,
it totally is satisfying. Ruin
your child's life.
Yeah. Like, one of the best promos they ever cut was when Kofi was, like, in the middle of the ring, and he was like, "We will fight your kids." Like, that was one of the best things that they ever did. So, it would be super dope if you could maybe put them, that could be a cool mix.
Yeah, so either way, he needs to meet, like, sit down with Biggie, get some information about how he's supposed to, like, really grow his congregation and take some of that stuff to heart. Like, you know that Seth likes Black people. He's not one of, like, AJ or Baron where you're just not too sure. He's down for the cause, so he can really make this believable. I kind of want Aleister to join him. I know that they had a match on Raw and all of that, but, like, I like their interaction with each other, especially since is it Rezar who's hurt now? Yeah. So, like, that totally means that they need a fourth, or maybe even a third and a fourth if they take Akam off, because they don't want to have them out there, the AOP out there without the other one. So,
I was going to say, speaking of Aleister, I think I told you guys this in our group chat, but I think it'd be super dope, so we don't have to see The Undertaker wrestle anymore. If he had a faction that he kind of ran from behind the scenes, like a shadow, and then he could go against Seth, because he was the one that used to have, like, he was the minister of darkness and all this, and he had, like, all his disciples. He could be somebody that takes offense to what Seth is doing and starts acquiring wrestlers that are on the roster to oppose what Seth is doing, and then Aleister would be a great first person to be a part of the Undertaker's new dark faction that he has, to kind of go against the Messiah, who is dark, but he has more of a, like, televangelist type feel compared to being, like, a sinister type thing.
He's totally Joel Austin. Like,
yes, exactly.
He's totally Joel Austin.
Exactly.
As you can tell, we have watched enough of these. I'm just like, there are so many really great, like, options out here for him.
He should totally cut a promo on Monday where he's basically like, you know, "This is my house and I just couldn't let y'all in," kind of like Joel Austin wouldn't let anybody in his church after the hurricane. He should totally cut a promo like that.
Exactly.
We are all going to hell.
All of us are going to hell for that one.
But that would be amazing. I would pop so hard if he got on TV and said that. Like, that would be hilarious. That would be amazing. I'm going to tweet him that.
Could be his brother love. The Miz could be his brother love. Imagine with his suit since, oh my gosh.
Oh, it would be hilarious.
But the last time Vince tried that, because I don't know if y'all have been watching the Ruthless Aggression documentaries on the network. They're actually really good. And the last time Vince tried to do, like, the Black Pastor thing with Batista and Devon, and it was terrible, because Batista was young and very fresh, didn't really know what was going on, and so it didn't really make sense to him. And I mean, Devon got it, because obviously, but they all weren't, it wasn't clicking properly. So even in that way, if Vince tried to run that same gimmick now, I still don't think it would work, because if you listen to the New Day podcast, what Vince thought they were going to be and what they became are two very different things. Because Vince had a very weird idea of what, like, Christian and God, Christian or Christianity and, like, gospel is not the same. Black people's churches and white folks' churches are just not the same. I'm sorry.
Not at all.
Like, we should, like, but it's the truth. It doesn't go the same way. We don't do church the same way. Our church music does not sound the same. Like, all of that stuff kind of comes into play. And I just feel like if we tried to get Vince to have Seth do this, he would ruin it, because he doesn't understand what, like, we're saying or what the crowd would want to see. It probably wouldn't be that great.
No.
But either way, back to it. I think Keith Lee is amazing. I'm hoping that if Adam Cole is going to lose to Dream, then that means that we'll get Keith versus Dream for the title belt in NXT. Because I feel like that's what we deserve, just because we have watched, like, I mean, what Keith, the pop and stuff that Keith got, all that spot was supposed to be Velveteen, so Velveteen got hurt. So
hopefully, if we do this right and we just go ahead and call up UE and just move them on, then we can get Velveteen versus Keith and like have us a real set all black title picture, which it will be beautiful just to see, because we have never had that in NXT and we don't really get that in any of our other wrestling either. So, and then with AEW, I do think that as a show, they are progressing. Like, I think that they are improving. I just hope that they can figure out a way to make it to where Cody is not the only person who comes out. Like, he can't be the only person that we care about. We have to get some other people on the show.
I'll give you the person to look at. There's actually a couple. There's two baby faces. Darby Allin.
Mm-hmm. I love him.
And Jungle Boy.
I love him too, but they're so small. Like, and I know that I don't usually care about size, but they are tiny. And Jungle Boy's what, 22?
Yeah, he's super young.
He ain't even legal yet. Like,
but those are the two guys that I think people are going to eventually latch on to, like next year after, you know, Moxley and Jericho and Cody have their little run and they kind of shift and say, okay, who's the next batch of people? That's where it's going to come from.
And it looks like they're trying to reset the women's division, AEW, so I'm holding my breath, but I do think that they're trying to reset it now that they've got Nyla as champion and they're doing more with Big Swole. And I still don't understand Chris Statlander, but y'all love her, or AEW fans love her, so okay, cool, whatever. I still want to see more of like the Joshi wrestlers. I think that they're excellent, but I know with issues with visas and now officially the coronavirus, we're probably not going to get a lot of them unless they actually live in the States. So that's kind of where I'm at with the state of wrestling. I don't watch as much as I used to. I probably watch more pay-per-views than anything. And then I do like recap shows on like podcasts or on YouTube, just because it's so much wrestling going on all the time. Yeah. And I've kind of gotten to the point where I'm just kind of bored with it. So I'll have it on, but I'll be tuned out like doing something else. And also because I'm not on Twitter anymore, because I gave it up for Lent. Pay-per-views are not nearly as fun because I don't get to see any of y'all jokes. So I don't get to be a part of the fun. I got 4 more weeks of this, so y'all pray for me. But like, that's when I watched Extreme Rules, I was like, well, this is just, I guess this will work. Because it just was like, oh, this is not as fun when I can't be on Twitter and like enjoy with other people. And I think that's kind of where I'm at with wrestling as a whole. Like, if I'm not talking to the Twitter sphere and like the WrestleCast crew, like on the hashtag, it's just not nearly as much fun as just watching it by myself. So it's a lot of background noise. And then I just watch the recap shows and go, oh, that's what happened. And then I'll go back and rewatch it because they said, oh, it's a really good match or it's a really good show. You should go see it. So like, I'm going to go back and rewatch SmackDown because everyone said like Triple H was amazing. The Miz and John Morrison did a really good job. The ladies did a good job. Asuka was super entertaining. I'm like, well, that's enough. That's half the show. I'll go watch it to see how it goes.
I feel like Lent should be postponed during coronavirus heyday.
You know what? That's what somebody else said who's very upset about the fact that I'm not on Twitter right now, and we're not doing that. We're going to follow. Follow.
Okay. I think Jesus would sacrifice. Be okay.
Yes.
I think we're sacrificing because we're doing social quarantining and all that stuff. So that's a sacrifice right there. Jesus understands.
I'm with you. But I'm trying to stay headfast. I am. I really am.
Okay. All right, you do it, girl. I can't.
I'm standing strong with you. So I, you know, the things that I gave up. They're still gone until Lent is over.
Mm-mm. More power to y'all.
So, Mr. Shipper,
JJ, like, V, like, it ain't me, though.
Not me.
What would you like to say in your final comments and wrapping up this lovely edition of Forever Young Cast as far as, you know, thoughts and...
Okay, so I'll go in alphabetical order. AEW, I think that You mentioned people to watch. Darby Allin was on my list. Orange Cassidy is on my list. And again, Jungle Boy, Jack Perry is on my list as well. And then from there, Nyla Rose is there, but that's kind of it. I like Jon Moxley. I like Le Champion. I like seeing Pac, but I get bored with them faster than I do the newer talent because the newer talent are newer to me. And I think that they have miles to go. I'm seeing some changes. I think that some of the changes are happening because now that they have a 2-year deal, they know that they can develop storyline. I think that the storyline that they have going with being the Elite, where we don't know when Kenny is going to and break up with Cowboy.
I can't wait till that happens. I'm so excited.
I think of him and all of us here is Cowboy shit. So, you know, yes, Cowboy Page, but Adam Page, there it is. So, I mean, there are good things that are there, but when you have a whole lot of stuff to watch, is it going to be constantly in my top 10? The answer is no. So there's good things in it, but I'm looking for them to kind of turn the dial and give me the diversity that I was promised. When it comes to, since I'm going in alphabetic order, the state of Black wrestlers. I love Keith Lee. We bask in his glory in this household. I think that Dream's return has been really good. I am still very high on Bianca. I want all of her merch. I want her to get a new shirt design so I can give her money. I am worried that they don't know what to do with her. I'm worried that they don't see the beauty in her the way that they don't see the beauty in Naomi. I am concerned about them not understanding or trying to take a shot at Black Girl Magic in a way that's going to be real offensive. And then I'm going to sound the air horn and V and H, we're going to have to ride at dawn. I mean, like, I'm not too sure about that. When it comes to the New Day, I agree. I do think that it's time for them to do a heel turn. I loved it when they say we will fight your children, because I looked at my children like, see, adults will come for you. And I'm like, that's the way it should go. We talked about what should happen with Sasha. V said something about the bloodline. I would love for them to have affect the bloodline. I still think that it can happen because they do have a joint pay-per-view. So it can literally be like them showing us, kind of like when like all the Black girls get together and take a picture, can just show the bloodline backstage hanging together. So you open the door like, oh, you know what's up. We don't got to say anything. You know what's up. When it comes to the Street Profits, we are constantly waiting for that play glass in the barbershop, aren't we? So, yeah. I mean, what should happen is when you're talking. I know, but they should be in a barbershop, though. Can you imagine doing their promos in a barbershop? Because, I mean, Dawn, I know you pop every week, like, oh, when he gonna go through that window? But they should be doing promos in a barbershop and leaning in on that because everybody is waiting on it. I don't know where they would go from there. I would love for everybody thinks that Dawkins is going to be the one to what's the other brother's name?
Montez.
So Montez Ford is the one that's married to Bianca, right?
Yeah.
So we think that Montez Ford is going to throw Dawkins through the plate glass window, right?
Most definitely.
No, I think the only way to make it work is it has to be the other way around.
That's exactly what be my point.
Yep. Yeah, it has to be Angelo being upset that Montez is more popular or something, or getting more attention than he is, and then go from there.
And that was going to be my point. So we're here on that, and that's what I'm waiting on, and for the reverse to be true. And to try to run away with Binky won't happen, but I would just go. You might as well go hard with it.
He got a baby on the way though.
He got a white girlfriend and a baby. That's not going.
Yeah, he can't do that.
Who got the white girl? You know what? I don't.
Angelo.
All right.
Yeah, Angelo Dawson got a white girlfriend and a baby on the way. That's just not going to work.
Yeah. Well, then he can catch that play glass window. Now can. So, I'm teasing. So who else is black that we haven't really talked about? I talked about Naomi really briefly. You know, like I want
Cedric Alexander.
Ricochet
and Apollo Crews.
Okay, yeah. Apollo Crews, I could never get with that baby. Swerve, I want to like Swerve.
I love Swerve.
I can't get with him.
I love Swerve.
He's too cool.
Because like they're pretty much doing, so the thing they're doing with Swerve is what they did with, is, well, what they did with Swerve is what they're doing with Austin Theory, but and Swerve and Austin Theory have already had their match, and Swerve lost, obviously, because they're trying to put the white kid over.
Yeah.
But the difference is Swerve has all this charisma that Austin Theory just doesn't have. So Swerve will be fine. Plus, Swerve has had plenty of, like, cruiserweight title matches and all of that. So, like, he has some time under his belt and on the NXT. And I think they kind of threw him into a spot and didn't really think that he would catch fire, and he did. So now they're cooling him down and, like, actually building him through, like, the way NXT kind of builds their stars or whatever. Okay. But Swerve is so good in the ring. Like, I have to send you some of the mat. Like, actually, watch the, was it the Worlds Collide one where they did the four-way? NXT UK show they did the four-way? Worlds Collide.
I would suggest you watch Killshot versus AR Fox from Lucha Underground.
Oh no, he was Killshot.
Yeah.
Oh, well, there we go.
All right, but I saw it for Killshot, but I swear if I was like, I don't get it. So, all right, let me, I will give him, you know.
He's just smooth and he's black cool. Benefit
of the doubt. Is that what it is?
Yeah, he cool and he's smooth, but he can wrestle though. Like, he can go.
He can, but you know, when I am trying to get through 6 hours of wrestling, and my fast forward button game is strong, and I let you get a few like words off in your promos to see if I want to hear what you have to say, and yeah, you ain't catching me. You know, that's kind of what it is. You. Perhaps it's because he's in a ring. I saw him with Cameron Grimes. I know that is your boy, but that man is nothing but a coronavirus and a hat.
He looks dirty. I am with JJ on that one. He looks dirty.
Fast forward. Because I feel like I'm going to catch it. Like, nope, I'm fast forwarding. So, you know, maybe I think that some of his, my issues with him is who he's been in the ring with. So I will give him a benefit of the doubt. The talent is undeniable. You can't, I mean, the one thing when I fill out the surveys for WWE is I may not like the storyline, I might not like who comes to, you know, like who is featured in a pay-per-view, but I'm always going to rate the athleticism high, because you're not going to be in professional wrestling on television on WWE and not have talent or potential there. So that's not the issue, but you know, putting it all together is like Apollo Crews. I still haven't seen it for him because he's a bald head and a smock.
That's all they gave him was a bald head and a smile.
So I'm like
his recent stuff, he might be going heel. I think he's about to go. He's pissed off. And he's got a beard now too, so I think they're about to flip him and not.
But we also don't
know if he can talk. So like, heels have to be able to talk, and if he can't talk, it doesn't matter. He'll still be out here bald head and a smile.
And he could be a faction with him and Cedric Alexander and Ricochet, where they're just like these small black guys who are just pissed off with the way they're being treated.
You know who would? They have the situation right there, and all they got to do is those three guys put them together and have MVP be their manager. Since he's already, you know.
Excellent.
Oh, Lord.
Oh, yeah.
Bless you. So then then how are they going to avoid the inevitable connection to the New Nation of Domination?
Because that was exactly what I thought.
Yeah.
I would play it more. I would play it. Yeah, I would play it more as maybe like a Black Four Horsemen, where, you know, these are all talented guys who can wrestle and give, because like Ricochet needs some swag, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. So put him out there in a suit, dress him up, you know what I'm saying? Let him get a little bit more loose in his promo where it feels like he's got some cool and some vibe to him. And they play it like that.
Superhero thing.
Yeah, and they play it more like these are three cool dudes who've been held down, who got together, who can wrestle all night, and then might be able, but see, it doesn't work with Cedric because everybody knows he's married now, but could possibly take your girlfriend too.
Ricochet doesn't. He takes that little small ass girl from NXT.
Yeah, Casey Candizaro.
Yeah.
But,
so,
you know,
I mean,
he can pull him though.
He had Texas first. He did decent.
I mean, he's done a few. He's been connected to a few women, so you know.
From Swagger, he just seems very like. I think of like he's kind of a nerd. Like
he is, and he's always. When I see him, I always think of him as, oh, Mr. I'm so happy to be here. Like, he always has the just, like, I'm so happy that I'm on the stage. And I understand that, like, being a part of WWE, especially after you've been in New Japan, you've been in Lucha Underground, you've probably done ROH, you've done a bunch of the indies. Like, I get it. WWE is the mountaintop. But, like, every time he's just, I'm just so happy to be here. I'm just so happy to be here. And it's like, bro, you can shut the jive somewhere else. You do not have to do it in front of me.
Yeah. And like, you know what?
That's the end of it.
And that is why he needs a mask. He needs to like go back to like Prince Puma. He's a handsome guy, but like you said, he's got that face. He needs to cover it up. And speaking of, you know, that person says, I deserve to be here and I'm not going to shuck and jive. Let's talk about homeboy. I'll call him Lil Cisco, the one that lost the belt.
Oh, gosh. Leo Rush.
Oh, Leo Rush. Yeah.
Lil Cisco.
Is he hurt? Because he hasn't been on NXT since he dropped the title.
He had a rematch with Angel Garza.
Yeah, which
we love Angel Garza, right? Because he has a.
Can we just please put Angel, Humberto, Andrade, and Bray in a faction with Zelina as their leader and just call it a day? They will be great.
Like, you mean LWO part two?
I guess that's fine. And let Zelina do all the talking because she gets all of them over very well. And then maybe a good group of like guys and they can wrestle so well. They've been in matches with each other since for like 8 months, I feel like.
I don't think Ray's gonna be the guy. I think it's gonna be Raul Mendoza if you watch NXT.
I do not like Raul Mendoza, by the way. He does not. Honestly, you wanna know why I don't like Raul Mendoza?
And
it's not even his. It's not his fault. There's an episode of NXT, and I wanna say this is when Drew is still champ, and Andrade, like Raul Mendoza's music hits. And he comes out, like, he makes it to, like, the top of the ramp. And Andrade just comes out and throws him into, like, the crowd. And that's all she wrote. And then Andrade is going to take over. And every time he comes, like, every time I hear his music drop, every time I hear his name, I'm automatically like, that's the guy who Andrade threw across the stage. Like, that's totally me every single time. So that's why he just doesn't do it for me. Because that's the most lasting memory I have of him.
Wow.
He had a hell of a match with Kushida this past week. It was 4 minutes and it was everything.
Yeah, and then he got kidnapped by two masked folks.
Yeah. And you see me, you may say nothing. Well, you know what's funny about some of your recommendations, H? Huh. You are recommending segregation. We got the Bloodline. We got LWO.
If it's okay for the Forgotten Sons to be a thing, and we actually know that at least one of them voted for Trump, like if it's okay for them to be out here doing that, then like, I mean, why not?
That's actually the formula that started the Attitude Era, though. Is they had all those factions. So they had the Nation of Domination. They had the Los Barriquas. They had. You know what I'm saying? They had all these different groups. Undertaker had his, you know, group of guys. And that's what was the very tip of the Attitude Era.
Yeah. Like Vince in the Ruthless Aggression, the one they did about Evolution, Triple H talks about how Vince hates factions, and it made me so mad because I was like, Vince would not, like, the WWE would not be as big as it is if it wasn't for the fact that they have factions.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like that's why we talk about Evolution. That's why we talk about NWO. That's why we, like, factions are a part of wrestling. That's what makes it work in New Japan, is the fact that they have factions. Mm-hmm. So you get to kind of learn every single person that's in the faction, who you like, who you don't like, what faction you like the best, and you ride with them no matter what they do.
Yep.
Shield is what brought me back to wrestling.
Oh.
Yeah, like it was the Shield that brought me back to wrestling, and then them having the Wyatt family to go against is what kept me watching. Back in the early 2000s and stuff, it was like DX against The Nation, against Vince had a faction, so how can he not like factions?
Yeah,
the corporation. Mm-hmm. So it's like all that stuff is what made people want to tune in to see, because you do get to learn about guys, even though there's a ton of people in these factions, you start to care about each and every one of them that are in there. Like, how do they fit in with this faction? So it's so weird that he doesn't like them. I don't know. I can't even understand the thought process.
If you watch AEW, which you're not watching, Miss V, but if you watch AEW every week, like Miss Jupiter Julep is doing, they're starting to go that route where they've got the inner circle, you've got the elite, now you got the death triangle, you've got the best friends. So everybody's starting to kind of get aligned with a couple of more people, and it looks like they're trying to recreate the exact same thing that started the Attitude Era, where, like y'all are talking about, you have all these different people you can interchange and have all these different matches within the factional warfare, and then you can tell more stories, which can get more people to care about the different people.
Yeah.
So
I just don't want to see Jake Hager or whatever. Really,
he's in the inner circle.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I'm a no on that one. But yeah.
Well, ladies, it has been so much fun going through this exercise with you all, catching up and reuniting and just doing an overview of everything that's happened in the last year or so since we've gotten together to have a conversation. So hopefully the next time it won't take as long for us to get together. And at this time, I'm going to turn it over first to Miss V for her shout outs and thank yous.
Shout out to having me back. Thanks. We might be able to have some time for our quarantine in the next couple of weeks. So all we're going to have is TV. So we could probably do something later. So, thank you to you guys. And that's it.
All right. Thank you, Ms. V. Madam Lizette, your shout outs and thank yous, ma'am.
Of course, shout out to my two favorite co-hosts and Don. So JJV and Don, I appreciate y'all. I guess since we, like, V says we're quarantined, we might be able to do this again before they start throwing us back into work and life and stuff. Shout out to Anwar, because he always shouts me out on the Cast of Drawing Style, and I appreciate it. Shout out to the Rascal Bays, shout out to all the Rascal Cats, and, you know, I'm sorry that I'm not on Twitter, so I can't, like, entertain you guys with my tweets and stuff, but I got four more weeks and I'll be back.
Alright, we're looking forward to it. And Miss Jupiter Julep, your shout outs and thank yous, ma'am.
Thank you to you, Don, for hosting us, for producing this, and for asking and inviting us back on. And to HMV, not only we talk about wrestling and everything else on our group chat, but also coming tonight. Anwar is my favorite person on Twitter. I have favorites. Ask my kids. They know who I have a pecking order. They know. They're numbered. They know it. So I have favorites. And I do fight kids, too. Ever since that, I would say, shout out to my kids, because they've been really quiet, right? You know, I fed them before, and we haven't heard anything. And just to cat a little bit, but thanks to all the people who are listening. Happy to discuss anything that you've heard. If you you can tweet us. Well, you can tweet me. I won't speak for Miss V.
You can tweet me.
4 weeks, Miss V. Huh?
I said you can tweet me.
V can tweet. I can't tweet JJ.
No, but if you have a message for all of us, I will make sure H gets it.
So, thank you.
So if you want to leave any messages or discuss anything or debate anything, be certainly happy to do that. And everybody stay safe and wash your hands, please.
And your legs.
And your feet. You know what? Wash all over. And you know what? And if you want, now you done brought the mama out of me. People, when you come in your house, take your shoes off. Don't sit on your bed with outside clothes on. Wash your hands and your body. You'll be okay.
Well, I'd just like to thank you ladies for carving out some time to get together. This has been so long overdue. Thank you to everybody who's listened and all the people who have supported the Forever Young podcast through the two Mae Young Classics. Quiet as it's kept. I don't know how it happened, but episode 7 of the Forever Young cast is like the most listened to CSPN show we have. And every week people still find it. Like 30 new people just listen to it like this week. I don't know. Oh, wow. I don't know why this particular show is the one, but yes, it is. So thank you to all the people who continue to find CSPN and WrestleCast through that episode. And now there's a new episode for you guys to listen to. And I'm so glad that we could do this. And hopefully it won't be so long before we get a chance to do it again. So for Ms. V, Madam Lizette, and Jupiter Julep, I'm Don DeLorenzo, and this has been a special edition of the Forever Young cast.